This is an audio recording taken from the Daru Advocacy Sector Conversations Forum held on the 5th of June 2014 at the Queen Victoria Women's Centre.
Well, we're rounding up to the end of the forum. I know it can be a really long day. I've really gained quite a bit out of today. I hope you have too. And we're now going to proceed into our last session, which is our Q&A with the Office for Disability. Michael, are you still there, Michael? Where are you? Oh, thank you. So, is it just you, or are we having? Okay, fantastic. So, Michael Cromie, the acting manager for the Office for Disability, and Felix Neighbour. And Felix, I always forget your title. I did this last time too. Senior project officer from the Office for Disability. This is really an opportunity for you to just ask any questions that you do have of the Office for Disability. Before I hand over, though, to anybody who might have a question, Michael or Felix, did you have anything that you've prepared that you'd like to say first?
The only thing I was going to add, because in between that discussion then and the previous one, you were talking about the data collection work that DARU's undertaken. So from our perspective, I just wanted to mention how fantastic that is, that you've been able to pull that together in the way it is. There's a number of gaps, as you mentioned in the report, but really what we want is for the data that's provided by organisations in this area to feed something else, and that is that it does get bounced back to the organisations, and they can use it for various reasons, including probably lobbying of government at the end of the day, but take that off the podcast. But it is an important it's an important thing. So as much as possible, if you can fill the gaps in of your QDC reporting, the gaps of the overall report and the overall picture of advocacy in Victoria will be filled as well. So it's a bit of a, thank you so much for that QDC reporting. Keep it up and hopefully fill some more of those gaps. And also a big thanks to DARU for the work they've done in making it reflect back to us what we need.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Questions? Anybody have a question? I'm not sure where the second roving mic went. Andrea had one and Isabel had one, and one of them, hopefully it's not in one of their pockets.
I think Mark's got one. Robin? On
your... Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Robin. I was on that data. I think it's great too, and I'm going to really looking forward to taking this back to the office and having a look at it. It's fantastic to have this after so long of needing something like this. Is there scope? I know it's a nationally agreed kind of system and lots of negotiation involved in having any kind of system, but just occurs to me some of the data categories like abuse and neglect.
Yep.
Be really interesting to know where that's occurring and like what the overlap is with, say, accommodation or education or whatever. And so, wonder how the mutual exclusivity of categories, so how they're being reported and how valid and reliable they are.
Yep.
And similarly with accommodation, like I guess most of the accommodation issues are actually disability accommodation. So where's that being reported, disability services or accommodation? So those kind of questions I'd be like to know a bit more about.
Yeah, I'll just a point of clarification to start with. It's not a nationally agreed data set, data set that we used. So we've got a bit of flexibility about how we treat this. The data that we, the QDC report that we've, so we have to provide some reporting through to Treasury from Victoria, and some of that set out. But a lot of the rest of that reporting was actually developed by a working group of disability advocacy organisations with the Office for Disability. So we are free to work with the items we've got, and we're really interested in feedback from the sector or beyond in how we might be able to gather data that's more useful and more able to be, more able to be sort of drilled into further to find better information.
Maybe a review working group would be really cool.
And I'm no data geek, I'll make that clear now, but with cross-tabulation, I think it's up to the individual databases that are used. So that might be a bit tricky, but certainly to drill down, I think there would be scope, but to compare across areas might be a bit difficult.
So we'll take that on notice, Mark, with that this was raised at the DARU forum, and it might, and something that we can raise back with potentially DARU and DAV to see whether we can get a group back together to revisit it now that we've got a report out of it.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Is that Mark?
I have two comments. What about the data collection? I was pleased a couple of quarters ago that you gave it 14 days from the end of the reporting period to get a report in. I was disappointed in this round when we only got 3 days to report. I believe the report is due on the 3rd of July, and that I haven't seen whether the weekend in that or not, but a little bit too short. And 14 days are better.
Thanks, Mark.
So that's a comment to take on board. But my real question is, I know that your guy's work at the moment is around the development of a disability plan.
Yep.
I just want you to make comment on how they going and say have the reporting and other reporting get fed into the plan.
Such a good question. It's like a Dorothy Dixer, because it actually reminded me that what I should have also said about the information we're getting back, both through advocacy data, but also a bunch of other sources, including we ran a questionnaire about the state disability plan and impact that we received over 400 responses. That just closed on the 30th of May. In regards to kind of how people are experiencing life in Victoria, sort of post the state disability plan, and for a start, a lot of people didn't know about the plan, but the life areas that it covers are able to comment on. So that questionnaire, alongside other sort of discussions we're having with key stakeholders like OPA and Victorian Human Rights Commission and Disability Services Commission and others, is feeding us extremely good data about how, I guess, mediocre we are still in terms of removing barriers for people with a disability. But what that information is giving us is a way to go back to government departments at the moment, and that's exactly what I did this morning before this meeting. I was meeting with health, justice, education. Every government department basically comes to the interdepartmental committee and reporting back on the results of those questionnaires, so what people were saying. And what we need to do is get this advocacy data into a bit of better shape as well, so we can feed that into that message back to government about where some of the sort of glaring gaps remain in Victoria. So the implementation plan, the next part of the state disability plan, is under development, and we're working with those government departments to say, hey, voice and representation of people with a disability is still sadly lacking, and that's been reported in a whole range of different places and in this way. You know, that people are still reporting really substandard experiences on transport. People are still experiencing experiences with justice and so forth and so on, and being a bit more specific about what they might be able to do and to improve their work through the state disability plan as the overall vehicle.
I'll just chip in with the report. The DARU have matched each area to goals of the plan, so that helps you think about how your data can influence different parts of the plan. And the case studies we got are fantastic, and the case studies really bring things to life. And the case studies demonstrate how advocates are improving outcomes of people with a disability based on different parts of the plan. So keep those case studies coming. Also, sorry, I think this is probably about the 20th plug for the DARU conference, but there is a session on the state plan in the DARU Strengthening Advocacy Conference, and that looks at a couple of things about how advocacy can influence the state plan and how advocates can use the state plan as a tool for change in their communities. So that's something else we're really keen to look at as well.
Martin, were you going to ask something else?
No,
having been given the opportunity, I also want to say that, again, thank you to SARU, because the SARU have put together some extraordinary resources that are available for, around the state plan and making it really specific and related to how people can exercise their rights, people with a disability can exercise their rights by using the vehicle of the state plan. So, you know, that is another great resource that I really think you should get your hands on to be able to really lobby government departments, you know, and other people to make things better. Sorry.
So is that how, because there's some issues like that are regional specific,
yep.
But can we feed into the plan about those regional specific issues that need addressing?
Yep, so on our website that we'll distribute through the minutes, on the State Disability Plan website, there's a place in which you can provide your feedback into the plan.
Yeah.
So as much as the questionnaire was for a time-limited period, we're welcoming feedback at any time over the life of this plan and in developing over the next one. There'll always be a State Disability Plan because it's in legislation, yeah. So we want to make it better.
And can I just say, I'm not against you. I just think there's some systemic issues that need addressing,
yep.
In terms of state policy to make it better for access for everybody, regardless of whether you have a disability or not.
You won't get any disagreement, yep. Whatsoever from me.
Yeah.
And those areas, I think, are highlighted in the state plan. You know, it's not just about service provision. It's about all elements of society, really.
What the quarterly data collection form does allow us is to collect data on where people live. So by not obviously by address, but by LGA. And one thing we did find out from the QDC reporting is that that's inconsistent. So if people could use a consistent way, like use local government authorities, that'll enable us to give us a better picture. So with the diary report, we couldn't provide any information on geographic areas because some organisations put northeast, southwest, some put Barwon, southwest, and that's partly our fault as well. It's probably a lot to do with us that we need to be a bit clearer about the kind of information that's provided. So if we get a consistent way of doing that, then we can say really clearly that, you know, the largest number of advocacy cases are in this region. So yeah, that would be great as well.
My question is regarding a question about targets and the stats and how they are used to formulate targets. I'm just curious because I'm aware that the stats that you get from these collection data involves existing clients as well as new clients, but it seems to me that the focus is on clients rather than the issues. So I'm curious because I don't think that's providing a true reflection of the workload. For example, a classic example is if a new issue occurs with a client, if it's within 12 months, it's not counted as a stat. To me, it should be. I don't understand why not. So I'm just curious as to how it all works.
I'll give you the bureaucratic answer and then I'll give you the what we might do about it from here. So the first one is that our targets are informed. Treasury provide us with our targets, Department of Treasury and Finance, and we have to meet those. We don't have flexibility over meeting providing 1,700 people with a disability in Victoria with advocacy under some fairly strict criteria. So their view is that you have to... You know, they're used to counting widgets. That's the reality, that you have to actually show what you're producing, what you're presenting. So that's the kind of hard and fast reason why all organisations have a set target, a number of people that they have to deliver. But there's a whole lot of kind of things that sit underneath that delivery, that, as you've mentioned, about issues and so forth. Mm. So through Mark's data group that was referred to earlier, I think it provides another great opportunity in which we can actually revisit that idea of what is really good, useful information that we might be able to get, and then at some point maybe for the department to be able to go back to Treasury and show a much stronger case around a different way of counting this, but still being able to provide a heap of service to a whole range of people with a disability in Victoria.
It's Robin. I was just curious. Question 10 on the QDC form says, I think it's something like, you know, do you have anything else to say or any other information? Do people fill that in? Do you get many comments on there? Because that could be an opportunity where people get to make comments like what Fiona has just made too. And I'm just curious how filled in is question 10?
Sporadically. No, we do get people saying, giving us sort of ways to improve the forms. I think, the sort of inconsistencies come up about some of the fields, like local government areas. Also, some people have said, can I, you know, some cases involve a lot of different areas. So I think it's fair to say what we'll do when we establish the Mark Fagan data collection working group is that we'll look at the feedback we got on question 10, we'll look at the report, and we'll use and also what's said today, and we'll use that as a basis to get the conversation going. So, yeah, not much. Yeah, it's usually comments on how long people took to complete the form, but we'll use that to improve things. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry if this has been brought up before, but I wasn't here. We spend quite a lot of time giving people advice or doing research to see if there's somewhere appropriate we can refer an inquirer. The stats system doesn't allow us to reflect the amount of time we spend doing that genuine work. But we don't actually open a file. I mean, I could, but it would be like open for 2 days or something. Why aren't we reporting on the work we're actually doing?
Yeah, another one. It's been a sort of an opportunity to revisit all this data. But I think what the data group that was originally. I mentioned the data group that came out of a feeling that a whole range of things that organisations do aren't counted in the way we count our data previously. And that's where we arrived at the revised QDC form, which was, you know, big and cumbersome, and people then will say you're collecting too much information. But it was about that idea that we wanted to collect much more information to give us a much stronger picture of all the other things that organisations were doing other than that counting of a person once for this purpose. So let's also look at that in response to, you know, now we've got this report, we can look at it and say, well, it's giving us part of the picture, but it still doesn't give us all those sort of incidental things that organisations are doing that tell much more of the story. Sue,
where are you, Sue?
Thank you. Is it Section 10?
Section 10, yeah.
To add all that extra stuff in that Nikki was talking about. So we don't have to actually have numbers, but I'll go refer to Section 10 and I'll list all the extra stuff that we're doing. So it gets in that way.
Yeah, terrific.
And can I just say that I think there's an opportunity to, like we heard from New Wave about all the work they're doing and other self-advocacy groups, so I think there is an opportunity down the track to look a bit more about self-advocacy as well, and the report reflecting all the different models of advocacy and how they can influence change. Yeah.
Any other questions? Well, I'll get over it. I don't know how much time we've got left. Anything else you'd like to say, Michael or Felix?
Do I get a chance to look at the podcast before it gets put out to edit any answers to... No, I don't have anything else, Rob.
We do give VDSA award-winning winners special privileges. And we'll edit that out of the podcast. Okay. Well, thank you very much,
you.
Michael Cromie and Felix Neighbour. This is always a good opportunity for us to ask of the office any questions, so thank you.